Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for an opportunity for us to be here together to recognize that you are the great I am. Lord, you're God, which means we're not. And as we come to your word today, would you help us humble our hearts to hear your word, to receive it as it is and not to try to edit it, numb it down, or make it be easier, but to hear it the way it is. Receive you, Lord, and recognize what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Do we have any do-it-yourselfers here? Any honest people here? You're a DIYer, okay? Some of you are lying because you know you try things, right, at home. Most risky project I have ever done as a DIYer is I changed those springs in my garage door, okay? Yeah, put my son's football helmet on first, okay, you know, and I'm doing that thing, and I lived through it. I texted my wife, I'm doing it now, so if I don't call you in about 30 minutes, call 911, okay, yeah, right, and so, yeah, and then it was so cool when it went up, like, the first time, and I'm like, yeah, I put the right spring on the right side, okay, that was kind of cool. I a little risky. I like trying some of these crazy things, you know. I've learned that, you know, whenever I'm going to try something, I go to YouTube. Anybody like that? Yeah, forget the directions. Let's look at YouTube. Let's first of all look at who did it wrong, how they did it wrong, and then how, and that's always fun. Pinterest, I don't know, Pinterest has a category called Pinterest Fails. Any of you guys like notice Pinterest Fails? Love this category now. Chocolate covered kiwi popsicle, nailed it. No, not quite. Yeah, that they don't look the same, right? And so if you want it, don't do it now, but go on Pinterest, you know, sometime later. And then how about these cookies, cup, they look the same, don't they? It probably tasted good, gave children nightmares, but kids are like, oh, I don't know, it's crazy. I like looking at those epic fails and those kind of things, and so I went online and I thought, we gotta watch some of this, so you gotta check out this video real quick. Oh, that's bad. Oh, okay. DIY, right? Okay, so this morning our villain is Cain, and he is known as the first murderer in the Bible. There's a lot of firsts that come up in Genesis chapter 4. We have the first family, we have the first birth, we have the first murder, we have the first sense of trying to outwit God in a way. We have a lot of historical things that happen in Genesis chapter 4. We have the first time a woman uses God's name when she says Yahweh. So we have a lot of firsts. Turn with me, then, if you would, in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, we have them right there in front of you. The blue one is a Bible on page 6. It's Genesis. It's the first book of the Bible, the word, you know, where we get genos from, meaning beginning for us. It's the beginnings of us. Remember, the historical account is recorded for us by Moses. He's going to write the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch. Those five books are written as the children of Israel have just been released from slavery in Egypt. And so now he has put together their history for their people to know who their God is, how he has worked in his people. Understanding that is pretty important because they already understand some sacrifices. So they're going to understand a little bit more in the background about these stories, about Cain and Abel's situation, than someone who's just reading it from the beginning, because they have just gone through so much, okay? And so understanding that. So Genesis chapter 4, I'll be reading the first probably six verses, because that's what we're going to look at first, okay? So starting with verse 1, Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord," that's God's name, Yahweh, "I have brought forth a man." Later, and we don't know if this word later means 30 minutes later, like Josh and Megan. Josh came 30 minutes after Megan as they were twins, or 9 or more months, okay? It's a kind of an ambiguous term, okay? She gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, this is a Hebrew colloquialism that means at the appointed time, okay? So at the appointed time, Cain brought some of the first fruits, some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought the fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Okay? Now, both Cain and Abel are doing what we all want when we come to God. We are seeking God's favor.
Amen.
We are seeking God's blessings in our life. We come to God because we want to hear from Him. We come to God because we want to experience Him. We come to God because most often we need shalom. We want peace. We want things that you can't buy at Walmart from God. We want things that come for our soul. We want things to deal with what's going on inside, why you can't sleep at night, why you stress, why you bite your fingernails, why you pull out your hair, why you stress so much. We come to God for those things. Right?
Amen.
And so when we come to God for these things, we want the right response. When we look at Cain's response, it says, so Cain's angry, very angry, his face downcast. And the Lord says to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Now, you might be asking this question. I'm asking this question. What was wrong with Cain's offering? What's wrong with Cain's offering? When Cain gives his offering to the Lord, why does God not accept him? Well, why is, and your Bible might say, has no regard for his offering. When you come to God and you ask God for something and he has no regard for you, don't you want to know? When you come to God, that he'll have a regard for you, that he'll listen? Well, this is part of that story. This is part of the story of understanding that when you come to God and you want to have him have regard for you and you want him to bless you with favor, his favor in your life, don't we want that? Well, we should look at the story and compare and contrast these two things and understand, because I don't want to act. This is your big idea. Don't be like Cain. So look at how Cain acts. Look what he does. Make sure we don't fall into patterns like that. Don't be like Cain. Let's act like Abel. Okay, so what was wrong with this? First of all, why did God reject him? Number one, it was bloodless. This was to be a sin offering. A sin offering is meant to cover our sins. He brings a fellowship offering or a grain offering, and that's a different kind of an offering, right? And so when we deal with sin, the Bible tells us that sin is deserving of capital punishment. Most of us, when we think about our sins, we're like, it's just a misdemeanor sin. No, no, no. All sin is felony with God. Okay? We get that in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is capital punishment. Right? That's what it says. Death. All sin. I don't like to hear that because I want to think, mine's just a misdemeanor, God. It's a low third class. It's not even a big one, God. No, no, no. Yeah, I only got grade A felonies here, right? And so when we say that, and Hebrews 9:22 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And secondly, it tells us that it wasn't even his best, was less than his best. It says he brought some fruits. He brought the leftovers, in essence. Leviticus 27:30 tells us a tithe of everything, tithe meaning a tenth, of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It's holy, holy to the Lord. The Bible talks about when we have a tenth of what we have, a tenth of our increase is to go to God. That's the tithe. It's simple that. The Bible says that it's the Lord's. It's never even yours. You should never even call it my tithe because it was never yours in the first place. Get that? The tithe, it says here, is the Lord. If you choose to keep it, that's between you and God, okay? And if you choose to give it to him or release it to him, that's where the favor comes, okay? And so we understand that. That is just the simpleness of what God asked from his people. Now, Cain brought some fruits. Abel brings the fat portion. That's the best. That's the best of the best. That's the steak that's got the marbled stuff in it. That's the stuff on the side that when you, any barbecuers? Come on, I know you're there. I got a goal this summer to barbecue 10 different things this summer. Anybody competing with me? Some of you probably outbeat me, all right? You're making different steaks, different things. Yeah, all right, okay. Different things, that's fun right there, right? Okay, and it's fun. You start different things because you want to have different. And the fat, now back then, they didn't always have the same seasonings and things, so that fat was the sweet taste. And you would eat that, and they didn't have as much nutrition, so they ate the fat. We kind of trim off some of the fat because we don't need it, okay? But they needed it, and it was good for them, and it was important to them. So for them to give up the best, that was huge. And there's an emphasis, notice this, on the quality of Abel's gift. That's how the Holy Spirit has inspired this. There's an emphasis on the book. See, Proverbs, we know Proverbs 3, 5, and 7, right? Through 7, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Go on to verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with all of your wealth, with the first fruit of your crops. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing. Your vats will brim with new wine. Meaning God will keep replenishing and blessing and taking care of you. That's what the Proverbs tells us there, right? And I know what you're thinking. Pastor, you don't understand. You're talking about tithing, and my life is really hard. I can't afford to do that. But I want you to think about the society there. They were in an agrarian society. When God asks them to give them the best of their best, give them the first fruits, here's what he's saying. When that sheep is born, gives a birth of a brand new lamb, I want you to give the first one to me. What? When that crop comes in and that first stuff comes in, I want you to give the first and the best to me. But God, I don't know if the sheep's going to have another one. I got to hang on to this one. But God, I don't know if there's going to be a drought and there's going to be more food. I need to hang on to this. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? You think you have it hard now. They didn't have water to irrigate. Like with hoses. You know what I'm saying? And they had to trust in rain. They didn't have pesticides to keep the bugs away. They didn't have things to protect them. They had to trust God.
Amen.
In the same way he asks you and I, the same way to trust him. And it's hard. Doesn't matter what kind of society you're in. It's difficult for us to trust God. Right? That's the whole thing. And then so when you look on it, it says, but the Lord, now the Lord, notice what it says in verse 4, the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Circle two little words for me in your Bible. The little word and. See, you know what the scariest DIY is? I looked on YouTube. You know they got DIY dentistry. Woo! I did not show you that. Because I'll tell you, when you see somebody put pliers in their mouth and start doing this, man, you just can't keep watching. I did, but you can't. I mean, I know, can't in church. And then they got strings on ropes on people. And then the mom's saying, well, hang on, honey. Yeah, right. And then pull the tooth coming out. Oh, blood. Okay, the DIY. That DIY dentistry. Then there was DIY tattoo removal. Here's the Dremel. Oh, Lord. See, these things I can't show in church. Just the thought of it. Don't YouTube it now. Okay? At least wait till you get home. All right? But this is probably the scariest DIY. You know what I call it? DIY religion. Just do-it-yourself religion. Figure it out all on your own. Don't trust the word. You just tweak it to say what you want it to say. That's the scariest thing there is out there. You make the Bible say what you want it to say. Well, I see it this way. I do it this way. Here's what Bruce Waltke said, one of my commentators that I really, really look up to. He said, the worshiper and his offering are inseparable. That's huge for us. Because you know what we like to say? Well, I didn't really give a tenth, but God knows my heart. He does. He says you're cheap. He says, I know your heart, and you worship Hollywood, not me. Because it's easy for you to throw $25 in an offering plate, but you'll throw $50 down at the movie theater. It's easy for you to throw $25 or $50 in, but you worship at Netflix, you Hulu, all these things that you subscribe to and you worship there. Oh, it's easy. I can throw $200 in, but I got a $400 Chevy truck payment. So I worship Chevy, not Jesus. I know what's important to me. I give to that, and that's more important. And see, that's what we tell God. We say, this is my heart. I give to what's really important to me, God. That's where we are. That's what he sees. And we want to separate the two. And he says, Cain and his offering, Abel and his offering, you can't separate them. God says, I see the two as one. And we want to separate it because we're in that dichotomy society. We want to separate everything out. It doesn't matter what I say on Sunday. It's just, I'll do what I want on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And God says, it doesn't work that way. You're one being all the time. Are you for me or against me? Do you love me or not? And that's the challenge of being a full-on Christian, being a Christ-like follower, is am I in or not? All in. All in. And Cain is mentioned three times in the New Testament, only three times. In Hebrews 11:4, there's an emphasis on the quality of Abel's gift. By faith, it says, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. By faith, he still speaks even though he's dead. So here's the problem. Cain's DIY religion, why is it so bad? Here's what happens. When he has this DIY experience, in verse 5, then it says, but on Cain, he and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Have you ever worked with children, and they get in trouble, and they do this? I'm not looking at you, and I'm not listening to you, and you know they're in trouble, and you talk to them, and they're doing this. That's what Cain's doing with God. And Bruce Waltke points out, he goes, how can Cain think he can hide his feelings from an omniscient God?
Amen.
Do we do that? Yeah. He's mad. He's angry because God has said, your offering wasn't good enough and you need to change. We get mad today too. I was talking to somebody about tithing. I'm like, it's really clear in the Bible. No, it's not. Well, we get all upset if we're told something and we act just like Cain. No, you're wrong, Pastor. This is wrong. And I don't believe the Bible says that. We get all upset. I'm like, just telling you what the Bible says. I tell you about adultery. You don't have a problem with that one, but you have a problem about this one? Why is it that you get so upset about one but not the other? Because I just pointed out, like God did with Cain, where his heart was. That's where your idol is, Cain. Ah, and that's where we are too. That's where our heart gets, is what we really, really love, is what we can't let go of. Do you get that? What we really, really love is what we can't release to God. What we really, really love is what we have to keep back. And he knows it. And he sees it. He's trying to help us to let that go so that he can be our all in all in our lives. And here's what's crazy with Cain. He is so self-righteous that he is not even sorry that he has defied God. He's not even sorry or apologetic that he has offended the righteous, holy God. He's not even sorry that he gave the wrong gift. And now he's just like, God says, say, sin is at your door. See, worship and offer and fellowship and offering is all tied up. And what it all points to is how much worth we show to God. When we give to God, it is an expression of us saying, God, this is how much you're worth. That's why I say worship. Okay? When I say worship, God, I'm saying, God, this is how much you're worth to me. This is how much you mean to me. This is a sense of your importance in my life to me, God. Right? And even with the widow and the widow's mite, with Jesus' story, she doesn't have much, but Jesus says about her, she has given more than the rich man. Why? Because it was so much for her. It's what she had. It's not about the dollar amount, who gives the most. It is about your equal sacrifice. Are you sacrificing to give to God? Is it a sacrifice, or is it just, no problem? Do we sacrifice in our worship of God, or do we hold back? And that's where the challenge comes. And again, do you want to experience what he's saying? And here's where the problem is. They should have understood from what happened with Cain and with mom and dad, and they must have told him the story, right? Hey, well, you got to understand, the reason we're in the predicament we're in today is because mom ate the apple. She gave it to me. I ate it too. You know, Adam blamed her. She said it was really your dad's fault. You know, it's just they had a classic marriage, okay? And so they probably talked about it, and they knew that when they sinned, they had shame. And when they had shame, they decided that they were naked. They were exposed. And so they got fig leaves, and they took the fig leaves and put them on them. I don't know if you know much about fig leaves. Anybody ever had a fig tree? Okay, you know that's like, they've got little hooks on them, like Velcro. It was the first God made Velcro so that when they put it on, it would have stuck. It might have been uncomfortable pulling it off. We'll just go that far. This is church, okay? But you got the idea, and God says, I'm going to do something better for you, and he makes the first sacrifice. Because they have sinned, he has to sacrifice an animal. That's where he gets the animal skins. To show that there has to be a blood sacrifice to cover sin. It has to be the best. In order to cover their shame, to cover them up, he killed an animal for them. And that was the first sacrifice. So the boys would have known that for our sin, we must have a sacrifice at the appointed time. We don't know when that was. That's in Genesis chapter 3, if you want to read that story, right? And in verse 7, he says, if you will do what is right. This is a condition of our soul. This is a condition of the conscience. This is a sense of original sin in the Bible that says, if you will do what is right, will you not be accepted, right? But if you do what is right, sin, if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. And God, again, takes it almost back to being like the snake. He makes sin being personal. It is personal, again, in the sense that it's crouching right there. It wants to master you. Are you going to listen to it? It's going to get you. Are you going to follow it? Just like the devil did with Eve in the garden. It's right there. But I want you to see what this is. It drives me absolutely crazy when people like to say that the Old Testament God's an angry God and the New Testament God's a God of grace. He is a God of grace all the time. And he gives Cain a second chance. Right? Here's what he's saying. I'm going to give you a second chance. I'll let you do what's right. Go get the right thing. Go do the right offering and come back and do it. What do we call that? Grace. The fact that you and I, when we sin, he doesn't just strike us dead, capital punishment, like we deserve, is grace.
Amen.
And then the fact that he has given his son, Jesus Christ, we're going to get there in just a moment. He says, will you not be accepted? And one of the commentators say, that demands a response. We should all say, yes. If you do the right thing, you'll be accepted. Yes. Yes, you will be. Do. Please do it. But see, DIY religion is approaching God on my terms. It's me saying, I want to do it my way. I think, and we have the whole world this, if you try to tell someone about Jesus Christ, and they will say, no, I think I can do it my way. I'm good enough on my own. I can do it my way. But DIY religion is what will drive you away from God. Do you know what the number one song sang in funerals across the United States is? For Christians. Yes. But I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about everybody. Number one song. Frank Sinatra. I did it. You know that one? What are you saying? It is church. Why are you saying that? Come on. You're with me. Pay attention to what we're talking about here, right? That's the point. And everybody wants to say, I did it my way, right? Hello? Has anybody heard that's the definition of sin? An active rebellion. Passive indifference, right? In thought or in action, right? That's defiance of God, right? Okay? But we can't fix ourselves. You know, for a hundred years, a beautiful mural of Jesus stood as a place of pride in the Sanctuary of Mercy in Borja, Spain. Esse homo, behold the man. From the phrase that Pilate says in John 19 when Pilate says about Jesus, behold the man. And you see the beautiful rendition of what it originally looked like. And it started to decay over decades. It was done in the 1930s. And after moisture buildup and it's a fresco on a wall, it starts to kind of decay. Well, a few years ago, an 80-year-old church member named Cecilia Gabilias took it upon herself to touch up the painting. As you can tell, she's not an expert artist, right? So she thought it needed some more. She thought this was a DIY restoration project. And people kind of figured, at first they thought it was vandals, and then finally she kind of came clean. But a BBC reporter said, Ecce Homo, should now be renamed Ecce Momo, behold the monkey. How sad. But it's a good reminder that some projects, such as your soul, such as fixing other people, are not DIY projects. They're only meant for Jesus to do. Only meant. And the promise, I want to take us to the promise. The promise is that only God's way comes with a promise. In John 3:16, God made a promise to us. It says, remember this? You might even have it memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that here's the promise, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do you get what he gave? When he asked you and I to tithe, it is because it is a picture of what he has done for us. He gave his first, his best, his premier. He gave his only, his best son. He gives his one, the premier, the best that he has, and his only son. He doesn't send an angel. He gives to us the absolute tithe, the absolute perfection of what he could give to us. He sacrifices for us his only son for us that we might know him. And then for us, then in turn as a Christian, a maturing Christian, to say, God, I give you my leftovers. How can we say we love Jesus knowing who he is, knowing how much he's done for us, hold back so much and say, God, I just do whatever I want? Shows that I don't know him. I don't love him. I don't recognize. No to recognize. No to acknowledge. No meaning that I see his preeminence in my life too. That he is Lord. Not just passe, I think he's Lord. I call him Lord once in a while. Amen. You get what I'm saying with this? God's calling us to the same thing he did for us. He's asking us to come follow him. Oh wait, that's what Jesus said. If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Right? Right? And so for us, worship means surrendering to the truth. Worship means I will completely surrender to your truth, Lord. When I see the word of God preached and I see the word of God and it's put out there, Lord, I want to understand it and I want to surrender to it. And Malachi 3:10 says this. I'm explaining to you about tithing. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse in an offering. Okay? Right? The whole, and in the Bible, in the Old Testament, what the storehouse meant, the church, or it meant the building place where the pastors were, where they did ministry. It says, bring the whole tithe in the church. Here's what we do in our society. We have decided the tithe is mine, and I'm going to give where I want to because I'm the Lord of my tithe. He says, that's not tithing. Tithing says, I give a surrender to the Lord, no strings attached. It's yours, God. I'm going to surrender it at church. I'm going to give it to you where my place of worship is. Now I give offerings to support other things, but a surrender is that. Don't call things the wrong name and expect God's going to bless you and gain your favor because you think you've done it the right way. You've just redefined his truth. You see the difference? That's where we are. Now, some of you are going to get mad because you're going to respond like Cain. Right? I don't want that. I think you're wrong, Pastor. That's how we know he's hitting us right where we are. Because we start to get offended. Right? That's how we know. We don't want to let go. We don't want to let go. But he says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, verse 10, that there may be food for my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, Yahweh Almighty. See that I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. You honor, that's the promise in the Bible, that when you tithe and you bless him, he is going to take care of you. But listen, unbelievers get resentful when the truth is proclaimed. Don't act like an unbeliever when the truth is proclaimed. That's what I'm going to challenge you. When the truth is proclaimed, don't get resentful. When Cain, verse 8 says, and now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And when they went out to the field, Cain attacked his brother and Abel, his brother Abel, and killed him. And the Lord says to Cain, where's your brother? He's like, I don't know. He lies to God. What is lying? Lying is pride. Lying means I can do what I can tell you whatever I can redefine the truth. Lying means I think I know more. I can figure this out. And he lies to God. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, by fact, yes, you are. You are your brother's keeper. The Lord says, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. That tells us something significant about sin, that sin calls to God for justice. Do you get that? That sin calls, that it has to be justified, that something has to be done for the wrongness of sin. It demands from God reconciliation, so that something is justified. Someone has to be punished for that. And then God says, now you're under a curse and you're driven from the ground, which is open its mouth to receive your brother's hand. And when you work the ground, you will no longer yield its crops. You will be a restless wanderer in the earth. And you got to recognize this. And I want you to grasp this, because if you sin, it will impact other people. because his sin, he is now a wanderer, meaning his family that's going with him, his parents he has to leave behind, they are now going to hurt because their son is gone. And those of us who are empty nesters know what it's like to have a son or a daughter have to leave the home. But this kid has to leave the ranch, leave the farm. They have to leave. They're gone, and we're not going to see him again. He's going to wander. And sin separates. Sin of one causes separation in the family, causes pain. Don't let it infiltrate your life. And what we often do is we want to blame somebody else. Let me tell you one of my funny early on stories. Anybody worked on a toilet before? I hate toilets, right? But you got to have them working, because when that little blue flap gets old and it starts to leak a little bit, and then all of a sudden you're sleeping at night and you hear the toilet go making noises. You're like, oh man, I can't sleep. The thing is waking me up. I changed out the things you had to change in the toilet. And you see that white tube that's going down right there? Well, I didn't realize how far you have to stick that thing down in there. So I got it all in there, and I'm down underneath, and I'm turning it on. And all of a sudden, this little white tube called the fill tube. You know what? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know what happened if it's not all the way in there? If you don't, it's like a slurpy sticking thing going all over the place, and I'm jumping back, and water's across my glasses. I can't see. It was perfectly aimed at my face. And the water's going everywhere, and I'm getting back that stupid toilet, and I have to reach down and I have to turn it. Whose fault was that? The toilets or mine? Stupid toilet, right? Stupid Mark, right? And here's how we get. We often want to blame somebody else, like Cain did. We don't want to be like Cain and blame somebody else. We don't want to be like that. I want to just finish with these couple things. Have you received Jesus Christ as the greatest gift? Have you received him? Do you understand the value of what it means to know him, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he is the sin offering for you, that he restores that relationship and that fellowship? Has that become the most important thing in your life? If it has, are you acting cheap towards God, or are you treating him like he's worthy of all that you value? Where is he in your life? When I coach kids and the other team, they come off and they're like, the other team's really playing cheap, coach. They're doing this, they're doing that. And I often say, well, let's go out there and play expensive, okay? Expensive, coach? Yeah, we're not playing cheap, okay? We're not going to dumb down to their level, right? You and I can dumb down to the level of the world or the level of other people that make excuses, or we can simply say to God, God, you know what? How does my life, my offering, my show you value? That's what I want to ask you about in your serving God, in your honoring God, in the way you live your life. How are you showing God that you value him? Right? And so here's the challenge for today. Make the necessary adjustments to the grace to do what you know is right. Like God simply says, hey, I'm giving you grace, I'm giving you time to adjust in your life to do what's right. I want to bless you. I want to show favor in your life. Will you get right? He gives us all that grace. Will you bow with me? Lord, we see Cain's life, and he goes in a sad, sad way. We don't want to go that way, Lord. We don't want to do a DIY religion and trust in ourselves. We want to see your word, and we want to honor it. So, Lord, for some here today, they know they're trying to do life on their own terms, religion on their own terms, and they haven't surrendered to you. So today we ask that you would help them to surrender. Say, Jesus, I need you to be the Lord of my life. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Please come into my heart. Come into me, Lord. As Christians, Lord, we want to say we value you. We honor you. So, Lord, we pray that you would empower us with the courage, the faith, the belief to know that as we bless you and honor you, we give because we love you. And that's the reason. Help us, Lord, live this way that blesses you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.